The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We go. I needed some music to get me going in the morning.
Well, that's pretty fired up music. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I still got it going on. 72 and I got it popping. How are you, buddy?
Well, you know, I'm 57 and I'm not sure I'm popping it anymore. You know, that was 7 years ago. When I hit the half century, it got a little less popping. But I'm on the radio with Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm your co-host, Doug Janke, with
Nick Gardner, the other co-host.
Yes. So, Nick, it is a fine, beautiful day today. What are we talking about? I know we've got special guests in a bit, but you've got some other stuff first.
Well, we were going to go to a clip from Redacted that ought to make you start questioning what is going on with our country and our government. Are we ready for clip number one? We got it going.
Does this sound fishy to you? Let's just throw this out there. You guys all answer me in the chat right now. Does this sound fishy to you? Let me give you the scenario, okay? You're a registered Democrat. You, just play along here, okay? Play along. Role play. Let's do a little role play. You are a registered Democrat. And from time to time, you donate $5 to $10 here and there to a candidate of your choice, okay? Maybe once a year you do this because you don't have a lot of extra money in your pocket. So once a year you do this, maybe you throw $10 to a candidate or a cause that you care about in the Democratic world, okay? But somewhere at the Democratic National Committee or somewhere in the halls of Democratic politics, someone has taken your $5 to $10 donation and turned it on paper into a $50,000 to $100,000 donation. So where you, John Smith, donated $5, but the computer shows you've donated $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And it's not just once a year with this $5 donation. No, instead, the computer is showing that you're doing this thousands of times a year. Thousands of times a year, and you know there are only 365 days in a year, right? Except for leap year. And that means that records show you've donated 1,000 times more than you did. And every day you're sending multiple donations, apparently. Because on these ledgers, it's showing that you wake up in the morning, donate $5. By lunchtime, you've donated another $20. By dinner time, another $100. And this goes on and on and on. You might assume a mistake was made, right? Like a bank error screwed you over, something like that. But what if you're not alone? What if you're not the only person that this has been happening to? What if hundreds of thousands of Democratic voters had the same thing happen to them unknowingly? Donations artificially inflated, showing that you donated 1,000 times the amount that you actually donated. And thousands of times a year, multiple times a day.
Well, I would want that taxable donation receipt on my taxes.
Right.
Then.
They're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It says here, according to the Democrats, that I've donated $200,000.
But I really think I donated 40.
Or none.
You know what? That's a good case for Joe Biden's IRS. How can they claim that many deductions?
Well,
on Social Security.
Well, according to Joe, the Inflation Reduction Act was going to reduce inflation, so their math is a little fuzzy. And for the folks listening, if you watch that, I brought it on the radio a couple shows back about redacted.inc. You got to go there. Those guys are on it. But you watch further in this video, and they actually go knock on doors of people who are supposedly donating $5 or $10, and they're being shown that they've been donating $150,000, $200,000, and they had no idea that they were doing that. So,
and who brought this to our attention?
I don't know, Nick. That's a tough question.
James O'Keefe.
Yes, he did. Yes, Mr. Project Veritas on his new O'Keefe Media. And he's actually got the camera, and he's got the proof. And, again, here we go. The Democrat liberals are, again, pulling shenanigans along the way.
He's an interesting character. He started out, his girlfriend acted like a prostitute, and he acted like a pimp, and they went into Acorn and got a whole bunch of money. And he created Project Veritas, and I have to assume somewhere along the line they incorporated and got a board, and the board just fired him.
Well, they didn't just fire him, Nick. He exposed the whole Pfizer that they developed the vaccine to profit and create the – they created the vaccine in quote-unquote as part of the COVID setup just to make money. And within weeks, he was out of a job. So ergo, I wonder how that happened.
And Project Veritas's finances went down to about zero, and he started his own a new group, and it's – what is it? OMG. I don't know. Is it Oh My God? Or
no, it's
O'Keefe.
Oh, it's O'Keefe Media Group.
That's it?
Yep. And he started out just asking for donations to have, be part of this citizen media, and my understanding is it's gone quite well.
Well, the reason I brought this up is how much of this crap are we supposed to keep swallowing? This is a crap sandwich, and they keep telling us it tastes good.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Joe Biden and the things he's pulled. You look at Hunter Biden. Why isn't there any prosecution there?
You know, at the end of the day, it's rhinos. It's Republicans. We're letting them get away with it, and they're rubbing our face in it. I mean, they're literally rubbing our face in it more and more and more every day.
You know, and I don't know. It's just so frustrating seeing what's happening to our country, and there's nothing we can do about it. I'm thinking maybe we should send Chris Street to Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, you and I were talking about that off air, and if what Mr. Street is saying is true, and he's being very public about it, so either he's poker-facing the hell out of us, or he's got some truth behind him, it would just go to support that there may be some malfeasance in our local area, and he seems to think he's got the smoking gun. So, yeah, sending Chris might be a good idea.
I'll wager on him. He's got the credentials. He's a very sharp character.
He already called one county bankruptcy down in Southern California where they said he was lying and cooking the numbers, and it turns out he was right, and the county filed bankruptcy. So he's got some street cred in my book.
Well, I believe, yeah, I'm on his side. Yeah. I believe there's something going on. Hey, you know, our guest hasn't called. Maybe you should call him and remind him. Oh, okay, good. They've called. Okay, I was wasting time because I didn't think they were there. I'm sorry. Play that clip, and we're going to let our guests come on right after this clip, and they're going to introduce themselves, and away we go. Here a clip. There a clip.
Everywhere. Do you smell that? I hope you're not used to it. I'm talking about that vicious, eye-burning, skin-peeling smell that surrounds all of us. The smell of proxy wars with overtones of the parties in Hunter Biden's photos. Feminism, trans madness, faux pandemic, real panic. Climate tyranny, social media slavery, Epstein's suicide. Fair elections with hints of brimstone charred oak. And the Pelosi's stock profits, all stewing in a Houston Planned Parenthood's dumpster in August. That is the smell of the thing we once called America, dead and composting. The postmortem on America isn't complicated. First founded by starving pilgrims and slaves, refugees and immigrants crying out to God for deliverance, this nation was pitched like a tent by men and women struggling in the mud and the dust who survived drought and depression and twice left home to bleed and die and save the world. Yes, there was hypocrisy, pietism, self-righteousness, injustice. But this land became strong despite it all by God's grace and by the sacrifice of farm boys crawling up foreign beaches in the sweat of their fathers, tilling soil and feeding beef. American boys tamed the sky and walked in space. We touched the world with our Navy, our love of sports and stories, underdogs and barbecue. And now, we touch it all with our rot. The greatest nation in history has been laid low by one simple evil. Lies. The deadliest was the first. The lie that our greatness was our own doing. And so many more came after. The lies of secularism, moral neutrality, and self-fulfillment. Of feminism and Marxism. The lies of the sexual revolution and evolution. Pointless wars and taxation. Inflation and a manipulated currency. The lies that lashed out at God, tearing away at our belief in beauty, goodness, and truth. The lies that sought to place our own lusts and the lusts of our masters on God's throne. Lies to control, to placate, and to destroy. The storm of lies has reached hurricane force now. Whole states are being evacuated. The deception swirls so fast and furious that the liars don't even bother to hide it. Question: where do lies get their power? Answer: from the idiocy of the deceived. How many lies can a people believe before it's their own fault? 1, 2, 44,000. Lies lose all their power when the deceived become wise, when their minds are no longer easy to bridle and control, when they learn to think and can seek the truth through any fog, and when they learn to laugh at those lies. The winds will reverse. The fog will clear. Do not despair. These are the times we were given. We are the people God made for this moment. The faithful and the undeceived will rebuild in the ruins, and we will do it singing, feasting, loving, and laughing. We will plant again, and we will harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. After all, composting empires make the richest soil. New St. Andrew's College. Liberal arts for lovers of truth. Laughing at lies since 1994.
And here in Shasta County, we're pushing back. We've got Patty Plum and her husband pushing. We've got Doug Jenke and I pushing. And we've got guests on the phone right now, Fiona and Don, and they're pushing. Go ahead, Fiona, Don. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
We did it. We're here.
Okay, tell us about you. Tell us what you're doing. Okay. We want to hear about your organization.
Well, I'll start. Don and I lead a small group of volunteer patriots. We've come to believe that God kind of put us in this place to do our part, to shine the light on our election systems by getting public records. And we offer these records to the public as we believe they are owned by we the people. And so we also believe our work helps in hidden behind the scene ways. Our library records provide hope to those who are called to help, as we were. These citizens have become aware that there are serious problems with election integrity. We discovered there are talented researchers and technical people who use our public records as their foundation to stand up and demand integrity in our elections. So we all kind of started out thinking something was wrong. I thought people were going to vote and somebody had voted already, and so that's how I got into it. And most of my team kind of came in at the same time thinking, okay, we'll do some affidavits. And as time passed, as we began gathering these records, we started to see hard copies of a problem. It's, you know, like you hear about it, but to see it on paper, to see answers and silly reasons not to give us public records, and then to see the public records and that they don't match up with what is being said, now we have something tangible, and so that's where we started. And we're just here to remind everybody to take a part, saving our state, our country, from those who think they're entitled to control us. If we're to do so, everybody has to stand up. We can't just have a few people that are holding swords and standing in the gap. We all need to do something, and talking isn't doing, and reposting is not doing, and arguing is not doing. If you do nothing else, don't help them to steal your vote. We helped them steal our state because we were asleep at the wheel. So we are encouraging everybody to do their own research, ask questions, find people who are fighting and join them. And the question that Don asked, you know, if not now, then when? And I believe that was like a famous quote. But
I think Nick made that quote. It's very famous.
Was that Nick?
Right. You know, I go to counseling because people laugh at me.
Oh. Well, I go to counseling so I can laugh at the counselor. So, you know, we just have different reasons. I love the things they say, you know. Yeah. Anyway, Don, do you have anything to add to that?
No, not that part.
Okay.
Well, you know, guys, I've said this before on our radio show, that as bad and as evil as the liberals and the Democrat machine are, I think as much of the blame also comes back to us for doing exactly what you said. We sat there asleep at the wheel, living our lives, and we didn't pay attention. And so what you guys are going to be talking about here hopefully wakes some people up.
Yeah, but, you know, we were all fat and happy. And,
we thought.
Well, look at it now. Look at these people that won't work because they're fat and happy.
Yeah.
They're getting money from the government. It's the same thing. They're targeting them. You know, you're happy. Things are good. Keep it the way it is. Who are these rebel rousers?
Yep.
Well, I grew up my whole life thinking that my vote was going to be canceled by a liberal. I was under the impression that California was just, I was just outnumbered, but I still went to the polls and I still voted because I believed in the process. And until the last couple of years, I actually believed that the people that were in office, we actually elected them. But right now, something just came really clear to me. I went to buy some ammunition yesterday and the guy behind the counter says, "Do you realize that Shasta County has the highest gun ownership of most counties in the state?" And I'm like, "And yet." And yet, our elections don't show that.
Well, you
our
know elections, who's probably got a higher percentage of people packing guns is probably the Crips and the Bloods in Los Angeles and the drug dealers down in San Francisco.
Yeah, they don't. They just don't keep good records.
That's
you know?
Right.
So I'm not really sure we can. But here's the thing. We are told that in 2020, 30,000 people voted for Joe Biden. Not 30,010. Not 29,232. No, 30,000 exactly. That was my first clue something was wrong. You can look at it on the website of the county.
In Shasta County?
In Shasta County. And that represented one-third of the affiliates in our county. So we only have two-thirds of our county are Republicans, and yet, just yesterday I'm told that we have more people with guns. That's not the kind of stuff we talk about when we watch the liberal media. They're not talking about you should have a gun. They're talking about you should trust the cops. I don't know about you guys, but they just keep cutting the budget for our cops, and so the wait time is something around 40 minutes. Pretty sure I'm going to use my own gun before they're going to get here.
Well,
that's,
you know,
how it's going to work.
It's funny when you mention that, because one of the anomalies that I think Cash Patel, I think is the gentleman's name, brought to the fact that we are a 2-to-1 ratio of conservative to liberal registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
2-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, until just this last election, our Board of Supervisors and our city council have been liberal-leaning. We outnumber them 2-to-1, and yet they've been in control. I've always wondered, how in the heck is that happening?
They're selected, not elected.
Right, and it's not 2-to-1. 2-to-1 is a false number. There is no way that's true. I can't prove it, but I can tell you that I've lived in this county for many, many years. I have a hard time finding a Biden sticker on a car, or, I mean, once in a while. But I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure we represent more than that. So the question is, how is this happening? And so a lot of people have been asking questions, and we just started asking questions, and we decided that we needed to have a team. We needed to make our stuff available to everybody because people need to be able to see this. We didn't know it till we saw it. So that's why we started the library. And,
Well, tell us about the library.
We've asked for records from every county in the state, every single one. We started out asking for contracts for the voting machines, and we asked for log files and different things, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the Zuckerbucks. We wanted to see those contracts. And when we started, we were working with another group that had identified, I think, five counties that Seth Keschel had identified as the most likely to have fraud, and Shasta was one of them. And we didn't know that, but as we began asking questions, Shasta County was the most difficult to deal with, and they are really only nearly outdone by Kern County. Kern and Shasta are kind of neck and neck on who is the most difficult to give away to the people. but belong to the people, which is our public records. We have a right to know that our elections were counted correctly. We have a right to know that they were conducted in a transparent way, and that is not happening, especially not here.
Well, you know, Kathy Darling has been out there telling everybody that she runs open and honest elections, and yet she has yet to provide clear records of said honest elections.
Right. And we it's not just her. We actually have several rural counties that we get letters back from their quote-unquote county council, and it's actually a law firm in Redding, California called Prentice Long. They're answering our public records request, and that law firm is arm-wrestling with us. They're making it so hard for us to get records that we just ask and get from many other counties. It's just amazing. Sean, you want to add something to that?
Well, yeah. So through a public records request, we were able to get a email that came from a gentleman last name Reyes. And he is the Secretary of State's chief counsel. And so prior to this email that we received, Alex Padilla, the prior Secretary of State, had put out a memo, and that memo basically told everybody that it's his opinion that cast vote records and ballot images, which are crucial if you want to see, how everybody voted and match the totals up, told all the election officials you can't give those out. And that was his opinion, and so they used that memo to deny. And so through another public records request, we got this email where the chief counsel for the Secretary of State told them, yeah, you can give out cast vote records. And so that that email alone, when given to Prentice Long, should be, hey, this is okay to give out. But those folks won't even give it out. They will not give those records out.
Wow. Wow.
Hey, you know, I just posted on the chat room address to your library and your email, which is librarian@tamehopelibrary.org for you people in Fall River that keep electing Mary Rickard. It's not librarians, it's librarian. I might have stole that from Rush Limbaugh.
I'm sorry. Be nice to my family. I have family in Fall River.
Well, they probably didn't nice vote for them. They voted for Janet Chandler.
Yeah, pretty sure they didn't. So the library has all of these documents. Every conversation that we have with, well, not everyone. There's some that are, they're not really helpful, but when we say we want these records and here's why, and they say we're not going to give them to you and this is why, that conversation, those emails are in original form, stored away safe with chain of custody. So if they're ever needed for an investigation or litigation, we can get those in a way that can be used as evidence in a court of law. But a copy of those original documents is in the library. So if anybody wants to find out what is being said and why they're not giving us cast vote records and records we've asked for, you can go into the library, you can search by your county, or you can search you can do a search based on what the request was for. And so you can actually go in there and actually read these ridiculous arguments. And there's one record that Don made it has its own line on the spreadsheet that you can see all of how they're coordinating their responses. Don, I'm going to let you talk about that.
If you're not on the chat room and you want to go to the library, again, you can email librarian@teamhopelibrary.org, and they'll send you a link to get there. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
And so in the library, things are kind of sorted by color-coded, and the very first items in the library are like training aids. They show like videos of different things, the Mesa pattern, which is something that happened in Mesa, Colorado, and using the cast vote records, they've been able to apply those. It's kind of like a formula, I guess. It's the law of large numbers, and shows how the election does not go in the way it should go, in the way all prior elections have always gone. These numbers are not coming out that way, showing computer manipulation. You have voting manuals. If you want to see all of the certified machines in California and you want to look at the voting manuals,
Hey Don. Let's go ahead and take a break for a second, because when we come back, I did want to. I watched the video where you guys talk about the big number math, and so we've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And then we want to pick up on that big number math, because you guys kind of explained that pretty well on your video.
Break.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Hello, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge, this is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck, Reed? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Okay, welcome back from the break. Go ahead and take off from where you were, Don.
So there are something called the Mesa Pattern. And the Mesa Pattern was discovered by a gentleman named Jeff O'Donnell. And he's also known as a lone raccoon in kind of our circles that do election integrity stuff. And he was the guy who, Tina Peters, the county clerk of Mesa County, Colorado, allowed to do a forensic examination on the backup of the Mesa 2020 election. And this is the same election that Colorado Secretary of State Gina Griswold had scheduled with Dominion to overwrite using the trusted build their database after, like, the election was certified. And that would have erased the entire election, which is required to be kept for, like, 22 months by federal law. And so of the many things that Jeff found was an impossible trend in the Mesa, Colorado cast vote record. And when applying the candidates' vote percentages on each batch of votes found in the cast vote record, and then applying those percentages to a graph, and so the percentages is like there's a batch of 100 votes, and you get 40%, and I get 60%. So 40% and 60% are applied to each of our races, so that percentage. And so when you do that, after about, so in one batch, you've got 40 and I've got 60, right? In another batch, you could have 60 and I could have 40. But as you go through about 20,000 votes, at first the line kind of goes up and down based on the low amount of numbers that are being averaged. But when you're averaging numbers like this, when you get through about 20,000 of these votes, the actual line on the graph will basically go straight, because now you're averaging all of the 20,000 votes and not just adding one vote to the next vote to the next vote, because this is not adding, this is averaging the percentage of each batch. And so normally in a in this type of graph, There's an upper control limit and a lower control limit. And so when the batches or percentages are being put in, they should remain within that grid, that upper control limit and lower control limit at all times. In the Mesa, the count of the percentages started way below the grid and slowly elevated up to the final winning percentage. So let's say I won at 52% of the vote. So it's way down, and it's like adding, and that's not how the law of large numbers goes. And the law of large numbers is not like a crazy math thing that you can't rely on. It's like it's like the periodical chart. You wouldn't question if I said water was made out of one oxygen and two hydrogens, or two hydrogens and one oxygen, because you have faith that that's a proven periodical chart. The laws of math, they are also proven, and they're like equal if you're gonna, you know, rank how high or how trustworthy is a law in math. Laws are like, that's it, there's nothing higher. And so this law of large numbers is proving out in several of the races that the computer is actually manipulating these votes. And so it is a provable thing. It is not like it's not something that they would kick out of court, especially if you show them what it means and establish a base or a foundation for the argument. It'll absolutely fly in court.
Well, you know, the problem with that, Don, is we've been told over and over by the lying liberal media that the election, the judges have turned everything down. There's never been one court case where the judges have actually allowed any
evidence
to be presented. And, you know, so you guys have a statistical way of showing how fraud occurred. And like I explained to Nick, it's kind of like when I played baseball. You know, early in the season, if you went 1-for-1 or 2-for-4 or whatever, your batting average would go up or down based on a game-by-game basis. But 60 games into a season, you could go 4-for-4 and your batting average would barely move up or down. And so exactly. That's what you guys are kind of saying, is as you start to get further out, the changes are almost invisible, because there's so many already there, the average doesn't mean up or down. And that's what happened on the night of the election with Trump, is we all went to bed and he had a solid, provable, fact-based lead, and the next morning we woke up and everything was changed.
Yes. And so I was going to basically say that, and you're 100% on that. And so what's going on is the judges, okay, they're kicking this thing they don't want any part of it. And I'm not exactly sure why this is, but I do know this. If a judge actually sees the evidence and does not decide on it, then, you know, if you are throwing the elections, especially in a federal election, and you're electing people who should not be in there, let's say like a Manchurian type candidate, so that's an act of treason. So in order to not see that and have to deal with that and decide on that, and let's just say that, I know it's not possible to comprehend, but some people are blackmailed to make decisions or paid off to make decisions, and if they don't have to look at it, they don't have to make that choice. Do I, you know, whatever the blackmail or the threat is, to decide the wrong way or whatever way. And so there's a problem there. So most of them just kick it away. They don't want to touch it. And there's a reason why, and that is because it is called misprision of treason. And so there's a law, and it's a very severe law, so nobody's going to touch that.
Well, you know, these people won't. There's nothing they won't do to stay in power. And, you know, Arkansas, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's hit list is a good example. How many people do you know that has ever been murdered or had mysterious deaths?
Well, I do want to say we do have people who have had untimely deaths. But one of the people early in this voter integrity movement created a tool that could analyze. I don't remember if it was analyzing voter rolls or if it was analyzing cast vote records. I think it might have had more to do with voter rolls. She just, you know, suddenly passed away.
Was that on your team? Was that on your team?
Thank God. No. Thank you, Jesus. No, we. This was somebody, I believe, in Arizona, and might have been somewhere else. But this was real early in 2021 that we started hearing about this tool, and then months later she was gone. But a more recent one is the San Joaquin County Registrar of Voters. She was taken from the Sacramento County. She'd worked there, I believe, 25 years in Sacramento County's elections office, and she was transferred down to San Joaquin to run the 2022 election, and I believe it was a primary. 3 days before the primary, she had an untimely death. And, you know, think about this. This might have been somebody who knew where the bodies were buried because she had worked within the Sacramento County Elections Office, and she's gone. And, you know, we pay attention and we keep reminding ourselves we're not that important. But you know, there are important people who have stood up, and those people who've gone before us, who paid the ultimate price because they tried to get the truth, their lives deserve our efforts to continue that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So that's why we months ago, gosh, a year ago, my team would say, is anybody looking at our library? Is anybody seeing these documents? And really not too many people had. We were sharing them, but we really weren't getting much feedback. And we just kept plugging away because we were seeing something. And even if nobody else saw it then, we were creating a record that could be seen in the future because somebody down the road was going to need it. And so that's why we created our library, and we kept thinking, okay, we'll just go until the 22 months ends for the 2020 election. We're like, wait, we need to keep going. And so we have continued on. And
to add to that, Fiona, the records that we have are being used. In fact, it's our cast vote record that made the Mesa pattern that they showed in the Shasta Board of Supervisors. So that was our record. And it's been, they've been showing up a lot of places because we openly share this stuff out. We try to send it to as many people as possible.
Yeah, when we get a cast vote record, we're sending it to the groups that we've worked with, and we're sending it to the Lone Raccoon and to Mike Lindell's group, and we're sending it to Seth Keschel. Who else am I missing? Patriot Force.
Yeah.
Send it to New California.
And you're going to start sending it to Nick.
And to Nick.
Hey, you got our record, brother. I mean, our library. You got everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I made an observation.
Cast vote records are that you can download the cast vote records directly from this spreadsheet. And all of the documents have hyperlinks, so you can actually download the library spreadsheet onto your computer, and when you click one of the hyperlinks, it will open the document.
Yep.
So everything that you see, you can print it, you can cut and paste, you can take the PDF and send it off to somebody. All of these records we have made as friendly as possible because we want them to be seen far and wide.
Well, this looks like a fantastic tool that can be used to convince people to get involved.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Let me ask the pink elephant in the room. On paper, we have a conservative majority in the Board of Supervisors who just voted to turn down the Dominion contract. has there been any effort to get in front of them, like a one-on-one? Because your guys' 3 minutes in front of the board is just, it's not enough to really get into details. Is there a way to request with them to have you guys maybe do a closed session and maybe take an hour of their time and go through this stuff? Because here's the
thing. I made that offer.
Yeah.
I did make that offer, but it was right in the heat of the Dominion thing, so that offer stands. We would be happy to demonstrate the library, to answer questions, just like we're doing with you. It would need to be by phone. But, yeah, we could definitely do this and answer those questions, and we're happy to because we knew nothing. We knew almost nothing when we started, and all of us basically learned what our rights were, how to ask for stuff. And when we first started, we're like, please, please, will you give it to us? And now it's like, this is why you must give this to us. And we're not letting them off the hook. I got some good fighters. They don't even wear gloves.
One of the things I think people don't understand or forgot or never knew to begin with is the people we elect, they work for us. And the way a republic works is the citizens supervise the elected officials. And so we haven't done our supervision part. And so people have become accustomed to, like, mother, may I, or please, may we have a document. But we, as Fiona said, now we demand the document.
Let me add to
that.
You
know the laws.
Let me add to that. Elected officials have come to the realization that they're going to tell us what to do, that they don't work for
us.
And that's what we're working on changing.
They actually have come to the conclusion because they walk in the same circles, they go to the same cocktail parties, and they are really under the impression that they know better than we do.
That's right.
We are children, and they're the adults. And by the way, which one of us is the pink elephant? I was trying to figure that out.
I was just pointing out the fact that you have all of this evidence, and we have a conservative board, and how come, and you know, maybe there's a bit of an indictment of our current board that we have the people who say they want election integrity, and you guys have the goods, you have the facts, and when you add it up with 2,000 mules, Cashel, like you said, Max said it was Cash Patel, whatever, but you have all of this beyond, you know, the Zuckerbucks and the $400 million he threw at the campaign. And yet it's like we're speaking in an echo chamber. Nobody wants to hear anything, and even our local supervisors have kind of gone down that avenue, which kind of surprises me.
Well, I'll guarantee you that two or three supervisors are listening right now.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I agree. I believe that there are supervisors, at least three that I saw when I spoke, that they genuinely want to bring change. They want the right things to happen. But I believe law enforcement wants the right things to happen, but they have to see a winnable fight. And one of the things that demonstrates they have a winnable fight is when they see the people standing with them. And we can't criticize how they're doing it because we don't get there that way. We have to stand with them, pray for them, support them, defend them, so that they can do their job. And those guys have taken serious, serious personal, you know, they're my heroes because they were willing. You know, Clint Curtis, you know that when he didn't take $9 million to let them cheat, and he made that decision that he was going to lay his life down because he wasn't going to let them get away with this. There are so many, and they're right up there.
Let me tell you about Clint Curtis. I talked to him yesterday on the phone. He is in Texas right now. He's helping them set up a election process, a hand counting process. And when he's done with that, when they have their election, he's going to send me the video. And I said, well, the reason I called him is I had heard that his counting mechanism could be hacked and overridden. And so I called him because I couldn't believe there'd be a chip in a simple counter. And he said, yes, there is. They could. He said, that is why you have the video with the cameras right on top of you. You can't cheat.
Exactly.
Somebody will catch you. So everything you plug in has a chip in it. But he said he's willing to come to Shasta County and help us set it up.
Sure. So when people did bookkeeping in the 1800s, they had a piece of paper that was a ledger. And they wrote, we spent this money on this, we got paid for that. And then they checked their work. And then they were audited. That process is a valid process, and it has no chip. But the process he's describing is you're auditing the ledger. You're going to make sure that it was counted right. You never do bookkeeping and not check to make sure that you're in balance. And so he's absolutely right. If we want the help of the chip, we have to have the countermeasure to make sure that the chip is accurate.
Yep.
Well, and it's funny is, you know, our darling, shall we call her, she wants to spend $1.6 million to get more machines, and he has told us in our interview with him that he can set us up, Shasta County, to run about 100,000 votes through is what he figured, I think 160 when he said we add up all of the top-to-bottom stuff. He can run it through for about $20,000, and that included paying, quote-unquote, air quotes, the volunteers. I say, why don't we give them a try? $20,000, well, put $1.59 million in the bank.
I talked to Beb Gray at the supervisors meeting, and I told her that I volunteered, and if they have to pay me, I'd happily sign my check back over to Shasta County. And
exactly.
She said every one of the almost 300 volunteers has said the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of amazing because based on our communications and based on what I've seen at our Board of Supervisors meeting, Kathy Darling Ellen is good at two things, spending money and telling stories. But she is not good at counting. Why is she counting my vote? That's what I'm seeing. And God bless her. I hope she finds her way somehow. But she doesn't believe in freedom if she won't let us see what happened. She doesn't believe in that.
Well, and that's been my point of view through all of this is if there was really no there, in other words, there was no fraud, just turn the stuff over, period.
Sure.
Prentice and company, whoever you are, just stop blocking. Let us see. And if we are wrong, then we get a bunch of egg on our face. But if we're right, there's some heads that need to roll.
Right.
Fiona?
Well, and I've
got a suggestion. Why don't you email the Board of Supervisors asking them for a one-hour presentation with them in private? All you've got to do is email shastacountybos.co.shasta.ca.gov.
Okay.
And email them, and that one email goes to all five supervisors.
Okay.
And being in private, none of them are going to be putting their reputation online. It's you can present, and from there they can determine what they believe and what they don't.
You know, I found the hardest thing about getting something like this across is getting the forum to get it across. This is the only conservative forum we have in Reading, KCNR Radio.
Yes, it is, as I have a drink in my mouth.
I'm
yes.
sorry. Okay, everybody, just let that sink in. We have the largest gun ownership in this county, and we have one radio station that represents the gun owners. Let that sink in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I will take exception to that because I got to be honest. I think most conservatives owned guns before the latest surge from Biden. I think if you were to able to dig under the onion, you would find that the largest gun buying group currently are liberals, and they're just not admitting it because I think they see what's coming down the pike as well.
I think it's the trans too, aren't they? They've gotten awful popular with the guns.
Let's not go there.
That's a topic there. For another show, right?
Sounds like a fun show.
I just fell over a cliff here.
I know. We were going well until Nick took us there. But, you know, I said it to you guys on the phone that we talked the other day, and this is – I stand by it. I'll say it 100 times, and I hope I am 1,000,000% wrong. So if you're listening, folks, I hope I'm wrong, but I know I'm right, and so just take it and put it in the bank. Tyranny has never been unelected – in any form, anywhere in the world, in world history. And we're looking down the barrel of tyranny. And we have to stand up because the option is less than pleasant.
Yes. Let me tell you a little story. We came up with our name, and we were inspired to use the name Team Hope due to a story from the Revolutionary War. The soldiers were just about out of gunpowder. The early Continental Navy was a diverse group of tough sailors who fished the harshest waters of the Atlantic for generations. They were promised payment for captured ships, and they weren't getting paid, so most of them had to go back to feed their families. They had to go back to fishing up in the Northern Atlantic. And so there was this one ship and a small crew. It was like a fraction of what normally would be on it. They decided to go out and patrol the sea, knowing that their chances of capturing a vessel with such a small crew were next to none. At about this time, a British ship named Hope had gone missing. While the British Navy struggled to find it, kind of prescient for today, our single remaining American ship captured Hope, which was heavy with British weaponry, ammunition, and supplies. The townspeople were in church begging God to protect them because they knew they were going to be brutally killed because they had defied the crown. And as they left this church, they opened the doors, and slowly the ship named Hope made its way into their harbor. The capture of Hope was a turning point in the war for our independence from governmental tyranny. Taxation without representation still exists today, and boy, don't we know that here in California. It's time for us to stand up. We don't have to go, and thank God we don't have to go out on the ocean and capture ships. We can do it right here, and we can protect and defend our country that we love so much.
Yep.
Well, we're on a four-legged chair, and we need to chip away at the one leg to get the rest of it to start to fall, and it's got to be local. It's got to be local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It starts here. And we have a lot of patriots here. I'm just impressed. We kept having meetings with groups from Southern California and big places, and they were like, yeah, don't worry about Shasta. We'll just take care of it. We'll focus on these big counties. And I was like, no. You need to look at Shasta because they were a year ahead of us. I mean, New California was already at work on December, I think, 6th of 2020. We didn't even get started till August. So they were so far ahead of us, and Shasta County has a lot of patriots. I'm super proud of this county, and I'm grateful that we're ahead of the game. And I do believe God brought our team together, all of our team. We talk about this. A lot of our teammates have had family members that have just don't want to talk to them or call them names. We have people that have had terrible things happen, losses to family members to COVID, and we've kind of hunkered together, this small group, but we've all felt like something about this is God's work. And we remind ourselves that we're doing what God wants us to do. And Shasta County has been steeped in prayer.
You know,
you're
speaking about God. I came up with a thought. Should atheists be able to celebrate Easter and Christmas?
Well, they just don't know what they're missing. So we might as well let them have some fun, right? I mean, I had a family member that said something, just something that was talked about just before Easter, said, yeah, I don't believe in heaven. I'm like, dude, how about you try to believe in it? Because being wrong's not going to be that bad. But being wrong about heaven
being
the other way, that's going to be a suck-to-be-you moment. And I'm going to miss you. So, you know, atheists, God bless them. They just, mostly they're mad at God. Agnostics just don't want to admit they're mad at God.
We got 45 seconds left.
Okay.
Bring it home. What do you want?
Well, I had something, but it's going to take a lot more. But so go ahead and bring it home, Fiona.
Guys, just ask questions. Look into things. Find people. Don't do this alone. Don't wonder and stay in the darkness alone. Find people that can give you the truth. If you have truth, share it. But don't share it as a post. Talk to people. Look them in the eye. Let's be what we were made to be, which is we're supposed to be in communication with each other face-to-face.
Old school America.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Have a great day.
Guys. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta.